97.5 The Fanatic.
We move into the 11 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I am Dee Lynam with you until noon this Sunday afternoon. So we've been talking a lot about the restart of the NBA because the schedule came out on Friday and it's good to go in the bubble in Orlando. But the NHL was actually the one who had the agreement with their Players Association in place of what that restart would do, and they're going to have playing games in a round robin with 24 teams. They have agreed to that long ago, but what they haven't done is agreed to where all that will be happening. And to talk about that and other everything happening in the hockey world, we have Colby Cohen on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast of NBC Sports Philadelphia Flyers, pregame, postgame, and an NHL analyst, big time at large. Colby, how are you?
I'm good, and thank you for the kind words of the intro. I appreciate it.
So I think the biggest thing that we're all waiting to hear is where the hub cities, and hockey would like to have two cities and have 12 teams in each. And Vancouver pulling out of that most recently because they couldn't agree to health and safety terms. Do you think that hockey is going to get close because they have a deadline for themselves of wanting to be in training camps July 10th, meaning in a bubble training camp by then? What do you think will happen?
Well, I think the one thing everybody has to continually remind themselves is these dates are all tentative dates. And I think everybody is exercising optimism, but also caution in the fact that, you know, they may have to push this back a couple days, or, you know, there could be last minute details that could potentially delay things by a few days. So I do expect them, though, to start training camp right around that July 10th date. It's been widely reported that Las Vegas is going to be one of the hub cities. And I know that, you know, we've seen a little bit of a spike in cases in Vegas. But, you know, from everything that I've understood and been told, that Vegas has a very, very thorough bubble plan for the players, giving them sort of safe passage to and from these arenas and places to eat, things like that. And you know, making it a safe, as safe of an environment as they possibly can. Now, the other host city, we keep hearing it could be Edmonton or it could be Toronto. It sounds like it's down to those two. And, you know, if I had to bet, I would just have to bet on Toronto because, you know, it's a major market.
Yep.
It's on the East Coast. And you think about the fact that they're going to broadcast every one of these games. So you do want to have the ability to have teams playing in the Eastern time zone and not just all in that Western time zone. I think that that would create a little bit more of a log jam as to when the games could be played. I think it would force them to start earlier in the day to hit those primetime East Coast slots. But, you know, they have not announced it. I personally don't have any type of inside information other than I know it's, you know, down to those two cities. And if I was a betting man, I would definitely bet on Toronto.
And we should tell people that Canada has said they will allow players and whatnot to cross over and go into Canada, even though they aren't doing that for regular travelers. But they would do it for the NHL, which I think is a good thing the government has done for this bigger picture for the sport. All right, let me ask
you. Well, I think that it helps to stimulate their economy because when you think about the fact that the only people that are really going to be on site are going to be the teams, the personnel, and people that are operating cameras. So, you know, you're stimulating an economy. You're giving people opportunity to work, whether they're working on the off production side. I mean, you obviously worked in TV for a long time and, you know, that whole side that people don't see behind the cameras.
Sure.
And, you know, that's job creation. That's, you know, good for their economy. So I'm sure Canada, you know, will, like you said, they're going to do whatever they can do to make sure that they get to be one of these two host cities.
Yes, absolutely. What do we hope to, I mean, you're winning 9 out of 10, the Flyers, and then this pause button has to be hit for obvious reasons. And we've talked a lot about the NBA and what can we expect from teams coming back from such a layoff. From a hockey standpoint, because I think the conditioning is totally different, and the ability to have ice available for people to have continued to be on the ice during these 3.5 months is a lot harder than being able to pick up a basketball and maybe go to your backyard or a gym. What can we expect conditioning-wise out of people?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's such a good point, because you can run every day and you can bike every day and you can be in phenomenal shape, and you could be running your best 5 mile, or sorry, your best 1 mile, and you're riding your best 5 mile. You know, it doesn't necessarily translate to hockey shape. It obviously puts you in a good anaerobic position and gives you a good baseline. But until you put your skates on and you're in that motion of continually only being on one leg as you move around the ice, and, you know, people are hitting you and pushing off you, and, you know, the constant confrontation, it's going to take some time. Now, from my understanding, a lot of players have made their way back to the different cities. So I think players have taken advantage of this phase two start, where they are allowed to have 6 players on the ice, and then they extended it to 12 players. I know, you know, in most places you're seeing at least 50 or 70% of the players are already back and getting on the ice. And if they're not back with their team, ice has become available to them in whatever city that they reside in. So, you know, I've heard that the practices have been really high tempo. Guys are skating and they kind of are conditioning themselves at the end. You know, the other thing to keep in mind is when you only have 6 or 12 guys on the ice, that's a lot of reps. Normally you've got 18 to 22 skaters. You know, there's 3-4 people in line anytime you're running a drill. So, you know, you're getting extra repetitions. You're working the kinks out. You know, ultimately, I do think from July 10th to, you know, the 1st of August or July 31st, it is enough time to get yourself back in shape, to feel the puck. You know, I think early in training camp, you'll see a lot of drills with built-in conditioning where you're having to go up and down the ice and you're feeling the puck and you're working it around. And then I think as you get later in training camp, you'll start to see teams work on, you know, more battling type of drills, more contact, you know, start to reiterate what the things were that made you successful, you know, the different systems that especially here in Philadelphia, the Flyers have played. But, you know, the Flyers were a good team all year, and they play with good habits. They do all the little things well. They're well coached. They have a group of guys that really committed this year to playing the right way. So, you know, when this thing restarts, I expect them to go back to where they were, because, you know, they weren't a team that were winning by luck. I mean, this was a team that all year won and convincingly and won the right way, played hard, you know, didn't lose 2 in a row very often. I mean, a lot of good things that, you know, I think would carry through even, you know, this season, next season. I mean, these are things that are foundational things that we saw from the team this year.
Do you like the 2014 playoff setup? I love the round robin part of it, which of course the Flyers are in, having been in the top four in their conference. But do you like the play-in combination with the round robin?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that this is an imperfect scenario. And
ooh, Colby, are you still?
I know that.
There you are.
Oh yeah, can you hear me? Sorry, did I cut out?
Yes, that's okay.
I do like it. I think that the league and the Players Association did a really nice job of coming up with scenarios that, you know, sort of were as fair as they possibly could be under a very unique circumstance. And James Van Riemsdyk was actually one of the representatives on the return to play committee. There was like a dozen players. He was picked to be one of those guys. And, you know, I think there was no perfect scenario, but I think you really needed to give some of these teams that were playing, you know, around the bubble, even though they were outside of the playoff picture, an opportunity to come back and, you know, be a part of this. And, you know, there's also going to be maybe 1, maybe 2 exhibition games before they get into the round robin. And, you know, for the Flyers, you know, some people say, oh, well, there's a disadvantage because they're not going to play a meaningful best of 5 series before the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, going through the NHL playoffs is a grueling experience, and it's going to be very hard for some of those teams that have to play in those first round best of five series to go and win four more series after that. I like the Flyers' chances where, you know, they're playing their round robin games. Obviously, the games are meaningful, but it's also about getting your timing back and getting your chemistry back with your line mates without having the opportunity to get knocked out. So, you know, I think it worked out well for the Flyers. They deserve it because they put themselves in this position by playing well all year. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I miss watching hockey, that's for sure.
All right, Colby, I have to ask you, because you have won a Stanley Cup. Can you imagine, for whatever team is fortunate enough and earns the right to have that, you know, skate around with the Stanley Cup, that they will be doing that in front of nobody? I mean, all eyes will be from the living rooms on TV. But for the people who experience that in that particular building, can you imagine what that would be like?
Well, the team that I was a part of, we actually won it on the road. So the only people in that whole building in Vancouver that were rooting for us were our family members, which, you know, maybe were 100 people. But, I mean, it's going to be a unique experience. And, you know, there's no perfect way. You know, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, who, you know, I know you have a basketball background.
Sure.
You know, he made some really interesting comments talking about this is something we have to live with, and we can either adapt and do the best we can, make it as safe as we can, make it as interactive as we can, be as innovative as we can, or, you know, we can succumb to the virus and we can just sort of wait and see. And, you know, I appreciate that type of mentality out of the NBA commissioner, but, you know, you're going to see all these different things where I think fans are going to have cooler, different types of access to these games, to these players. I think you'll see more people mic'd up. I think you'll be able to hear more of what happens down on the glass. I think very few people have a really good understanding for what is actually going on the team's benches, when guys are lining up for face-offs. So, you know, I think it will bring unique opportunity. And, you know, the other thing, too, that obviously, you know, they have not ruled out, you know, who knows, you know, where the Stanley Cup Finals would take place. Would they be able to take place in the team's home cities? You know, they haven't really ruled that out yet,
right?
Although unlikely. So, you know, I think right now the main focus is just getting back, keeping guys as safe as you can, you know, mitigating as much risk as you can, and putting a product back out on the ice and, you know, giving sports fans something to rally around. I mean, so many people have a void in their life right now, you know, regardless of whatever void, you know, they might have with work or being at home. I mean, sports is a big part of a lot of people's lives. So, I think that it'll be exciting to watch. I mean, the NHL playoffs, whether you like hockey or not,
they're awesome.
Something to see.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. I appreciate you spending part of your Sunday with us, Colby. It's been a pleasure. And I, like you,
yeah.
I know everybody says I do enjoy my basketball, but I do love playoff hockey. And I'm looking forward to the Flyers having a good run.
And you know, that goes vice versa. Obviously, we're all pulling to see what the 76ers are going to do this year. And I like when we exchanged text messages yesterday. You know, one of my favorite people to talk about any sport with is your dad. So I'm always talking his ear off a little bit to hear about the Sixers. And sometimes I like to get his perspective on the hockey stuff because, you know, he was a coach and
he
coached at a high level. So he has sort of a unique experience and a unique, you know, way to see certain things, whether he coached hockey or not. So, you know, I'm always picking his ear a little bit too about it. So it's a pleasure.
I think, well, three of us should watch one of each of the playoff games and do like a little podcast of the watching together of the three of us with the two sports.
Yeah, well, I'm in. You know where to
I'll text
find me.
You. So. I'll text you, Colby. All right, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you so much.
And, all right.
We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
All right.
Colby Cohen joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Smart man, that guy. Good guy. And he does get you excited for the hockey return. And as much as I think there's probably more optimism to it now, having listened to him, that it will get back in mid-July. And these details that have not been completely ironed out are probably closer to that happening than not. So I look forward to the restart of hockey as well. And I did like him pointing out that the Flyers from a systematic standpoint, have been doing things the right way, you know, the way they play, and that he expects them to return to that, and that they weren't winning by luck, but because of having a good foundation to what they want to do, and that you can return to even after a 3.5 month time of not being able to play hockey. So that gets me kind of fired up. And not everything is perfect. And I do like, I would agree. I think that Canada is going to definitely get one of the hubs. And I liked him pointing out that it should be an East Coast time because that would help matters. If, in fact, you are also going to go to Vegas, which it sounds like Vegas tried hard to get the NBA. I think the NBA was just too far along in with Orlando. And part of that was because ESPN owns what, you know, the complex of where they're going, and they're already a partner. So, but I am not surprised that Vegas has a very detailed bubble plan of their own that's a little different than what Disney World can provide, but I can see how it would be comparable in terms of just getting people from hotel to where you play and providing them with the amenities similar to what Orlando and Disney is able to provide for the NBA. Got you a little fired up for some hockey coming, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the weird thing is, like, hockey originally, they came out with the playoff format and you knew what everything was going on. They were like the first ones to announce that. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of went quiet and we got through everything with the MLB labor dispute and the NBA deciding that they're going to go in the bubble, and it kind of got put on the back burners. But now, I mean, everything's getting me fired up because it seems like, and tentatively, of course, we've got tests still coming in, but good news after good news when it comes to looking at sports coming back. And you're starting to get that fire again where everything's feeling close.
You know what's so interesting when you bring up how it went to the back burner? The one thing, Gary Bettman has not been anywhere nearly as visible as Adam Silver, and Rob Manfred's visibility hasn't necessarily been all positive because of what it took to get even to this point of a 60-game season in the MLB. But Bettman hasn't been anywhere to be seen that I've seen. I mean, I've actually seen people joke about it on Twitter, like he's MIL.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at
MIA.
You look at what happened with Commissioner Manfred in baseball. It's almost better to be MIA than what happened over there.
True.
It seems like he's just hanging back, trying to, because they've had the plan in place, let everything develop, kind of sit it out. We have our plan. We'll figure everything out. Keep it under wraps because the players get along a little bit better with the commissioner and the owners over there in the NHL than they have in baseball, obviously.
Sure,
so
certainly.
Play the cards close to the vest. We have our plan. We'll stick to it, and we'll kind of let things develop on the time scale we set out. So not the worst thing that he's been a little bit quiet.
No. Oh, no. I was just pointing out that Silver is always, and I actually think a lot of these leagues look to Adam Silver. They probably wouldn't admit it, but that they look to how he does his leadership role with the NBA and his Players Association, because he's done a good job with a number of things, even long before we've had the coronavirus. He's had, you know, some issues to deal with earlier this season with China and, you know, his couple teams being in China at a difficult time. He certainly had it when he first became the commissioner in having to deal with Donald Sterling and his racist remarks as owner of the Clippers. So I think he's been challenged and he's risen to that challenge each time, and I expect that he will do the same now. Well, he has so far for what we see in terms of a plan in place for the NBA's restart. 610-632-0975. All right, I would like to know what you would like the Sixers' record of an 8-game restart to be. If you had your druthers and could pick their path, if you want them to be a 4-5 seed, that would put them on the path to meet the Bucks in the second round. Coach Lynam, he likes that. He doesn't have a problem with that because he likes the matchup and thinks they have a variety of defenders that they can put on Giannis. And I like to tell our last caller before we were talking to Colby Cohen, Reed from Charlotte said he also believes that the Bucks, and this is true, their shooters feed off of their crowd. Now, can you be the same shooter when you're like having to create your own energy and whatnot, because that's how a lot of their game is too. They rely on that outside shot. So we'll have that. And then I do have to address what the league appears to be doing to Memphis, only I'm not sure it's on, well, it's a little bit on purpose, but it can't be 100% because it can't be rigged that way. So, but we will talk about Memphis and what they need to do to stay in that eighth seed in the West. 610-632-0975. I am Dee Lineham, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is still Sunday morning, just about 11:30 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope you have a great day planned for yourself. Maybe you get in the great outdoors. It's certainly sunny and warm. And actually, we're going into a holiday weekend. Next weekend is 4th of July. I'm assuming that most people will treat Friday as the holiday, which is the 3rd. Are you a big 4th of July fan there, Connor?
Not really. I don't know. Fireworks don't do it for me. It's just another. I love the beach. I love the summertime.
Yep.
So it's my favorite season. So, of course, I'm into it for those reasons. But it doesn't do anything as a specific day. It's just another good beach day.
I always ask people, what's your favorite summer holiday? Memorial Day, 4th of July, or Labor Day?
Oh, Memorial Day, hands down. That start of where you just know you've got the next couple months of going down the shore, and everything does it for me. I love it. 4th of July almost feels like
it's almost over.
The older I get, the more it's like the 4th of July is the end of the summer.
I know. Mm. Especially because like we're listening to people talk about going into their fall sports, getting ready for those, and because those are getting pushed back, so that especially if colleges do this, so that those kids in college, not even if you're an athlete, will be in school from early August till Thanksgiving and then come home because they are anticipating a coronavirus spike, that then they would be off December, take their finals from home, and go back in mid-January. So it's an interesting concept, but it certainly shortens the summer season. I said I would get to the Memphis part of the restart in the NBA because Memphis happens to have the eighth seed in the West, and they have a 3.5-game lead on their nearest competitors, and it is competitors, the Portland Trailblazers, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Sacramento Kings, all 3.5 games back of the Grizzlies. And then the Spurs and the Suns round out the other that were invited into the bubble because they have a chance to catch that eighth seed. So what our friend Reed was saying in terms of the being penalized for being that eighth seed, two things are happening. If they don't have a 4-game lead on those five teams that are invited and behind them, if they don't have a full 4-game lead, they will have to have a play-in situation. Anybody who's within four gets to have a play-in situation. So, and he's pointing out that that's kind of targeting Memphis in particular. However, I will say that they picked the number of how many games you were within of the eighth seed. Now, he can be pointing out that they made a specific number, but you did have three teams that were 3.5 back. So you're saying you have to add to that to say you're the eighth seed without having the play-in after the eight games. I don't mind it. I do understand why people think that Memphis is being targeted, and because Zion and company happened to have the easiest schedule that was made, right? And Memphis, I pointed out how Miami in their regular schedule had 8 games remaining against teams that are not in the bubble because they're, you know, weren't one of the top 22. Memphis had 7 of those against bad. Now, has their schedule for these 8, does it replace it in terms of strength of schedule? Not, it can't mirror it completely, but it certainly, as we said, and even Colby pointing out with the NHL, you can't please everybody. Not everybody was going to like everything about what was decided, but here you are. So I acknowledge, I didn't realize all 3 of them were only 3.5 back. I got news for you. Portland's welcoming back 2 healthy players, and I always go Jokic and Nurkic. Yeah, Nurkic. I have to like rhyme them to remember how to say each of them. But he's healthy. And Zach from Gonzaga, I forget Zach's last name, but anyhow, they're welcoming 2 players back to join Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to try to make their push. And that, by the way, Connor, in the Sixers schedule, that is no longer a gimme. Well, I don't think it's a gimme when you have a Damian Lillard and a CJ anyhow, but the healthy bodies of those other 2 coming back to Portland, that will be a tough game for the Sixers.
Yeah, that's one of the 2 games that I have the Sixers losing, actually.
Oh, really?
To Portland.
So then who do you have them? Because you have them 6-2?
I do.
So who's the other one?
The other one is Toronto. I have them beating Houston in the final game.
And you obviously have them beating Indiana out of the gate.
Yeah, I think they're going to show up out of the gate. I have a good feeling that having a little bit of a, I don't even know if I could call it a veteran I just think they're a better team. I think it's going to be, this restart is going to be a lot more chalk than a lot of people think.
Okay.
With not so many outside factors. It's just going to be 2 teams on a basketball court. And I think the better teams are going to, it's going to be at least for this first 8 games with a little bit less pressure. It's going to be a lot of the favorites taking home wins.
All right. And you also went through the schedule for Miami and Indiana, and you have Miami only winning 3 total. I agree with you that it's an incredibly tough schedule for them. I think they'll actually win 4. And you have Indiana going 500, 4-4.
Yeah, that's right. So that would leave the Sixers as the 4 seed in the East. Miami would drop down 1 spot to the 5th seed, and Indiana would drop a spot to the 6th
seed. And then I would get the drama I want in the first round, because I want to go up against Jimmy Butler. I think it'd be great.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I want Jimmy Butler, because...
I like the storylines. I love watching him when, you know, the stakes are high. I would love seeing how the Sixers fare against Miami. I think from a talent standpoint, they're obviously a better team than the Heat. But they'll have to go out and execute it.
Right. So, I agree with that. I mean, I'm not afraid of Miami. Jimmy Butler, the whole revenge factor, how much that actually exists is debatable. But
for the Sixers?
For him. But we'll see. I don't think they'll have a problem with Miami. But what that does do
sets them up to play the Bucks.
Exactly. And if I had, in a perfect world, I'm going off, those records are what I think is going to happen. I'd rather wait and see the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals than play them in the second round.
And lost in all of this is the fact that if they do stay at 6, which I think just looking at Miami's schedule and the Sixers, if we make all things equal and you think that people are healthy, I do see the Sixers going up. And now that takes Boston completely out of the equation of them, because whether they're 4 or 5, it now becomes the 4-5 matchup. So, and since I do think that even if they don't make the jump all the way to 4, now they're still going to be 5, and that makes that matchup not Boston, unless Boston somehow incredibly slips.
Yeah, Boston is, they're 9.5 games back from the division lead. Miami's 12 off, so that would have to be a pretty big drop-off by
exactly,
them.
Exactly, the same thing. Yeah, I mean, so. I think we're dealing with 4, 5, or 6, and however those 3 teams end up, you're either going to play, because I don't think the Sixers will be 6, so I think they're going to play either the Pacers or the Heat.
Right, no home court advantage either, so not too worried about that flip-flop between.
No.
But, yeah, I mean... it's tough. And going back to the Milwaukee point, because the first round matchup, they can't lose in the first round. They just can't. I refuse to believe that they're going to, that this team with this much talent is going to just fall apart in the first round of the playoffs. What scares me is another second round exit. And that's why I'd rather, almost for the aesthetic of it, wait until the Eastern Conference Finals to see the Bucks, because there's only so many Eastern Conference semis that you can lose before it's go back to the drawing board.
I hear you. How is our Twitter poll doing?
Let me go ahead and pull that up for you 1 second.
And our Twitter poll, while Connor's pulling that up, we wanted to know what you thought the Sixers would do with their 8 games in the seeding part of the schedule coming up in the Orlando bubble. I said 5-3. We now know Connor says 6-2. And 5-3 to me has to be the minimum. I wonder if anybody will run the table.
I can't see.
It'd be tough.
It'd be really tough.
First of all, you're playing every other day.
Right.
Second of all, with the exception of, I believe the Lakers somehow did not get a back-to-back. I thought everybody had to have a back-to-back. When I looked, I didn't see a back-to-back for them. But you have one back-to-back.
You're also, like, you're playing the best teams remaining. Like, they did remove some teams that would have had cupcakes. So, sure. Ideally, you're going to have a couple games in there that are good opponents. Like, no one's just getting a bunch of non-playoff teams.
Right. Absolutely.
So, 8-0, I don't see it. But you never know. Weird stuff's been happening all year, so who knows?
Right. We just don't even have a pulse on the situation yet. You know, the other thing I thought about, I wonder if, for instance, I was reading an article this morning that said NBA personnel will have kind of a wristband that will give you an alarm when you get within 6 feet of a human being. And the players, it's optional if they choose to wear that. I wonder if they will give those to referees. I mean, will referees have to change? I think you have to do your job like you've always done it, right?
Yeah.
You got to run to your spots. You got to see it the way you always saw it. You can't be having wristbands that ding on you.
I imagine they'll probably do it the same. What we do have a pulse on, if we do have anything, is how people are feeling, though, about the Sixers win totals.
Oh, good, yes.
So, still leading the way. It's actually dropped down a little bit. I think it was 55% when we last checked in. But 53% of the vote is saying the Sixers are going to have 5-6 wins. In second place, dropping again, is 6+, which is at 22% now.
Whoa.
Now, 3-4 wins has jumped up a little bit. It's almost in second place. They're at 19.9. So just under 20% are saying 3-4 wins. And 2 wins or less is still at 4%.
Wait a minute. How many people have voted?
At about 900.
So that's 400 more people voted than the last time we checked it. And that 3-4 has crept up, which is interesting. So they're concerned about health and conditioning or coaching, one of those three.
Yeah, if I had to guess, they're assuming a couple losses. So either to Portland, and I have them losing to Portland.
And
so they have to lose to Portland, Toronto.
I think they're thinking that the load management is going to be a part of the 8 games. That's what I think they're saying.
I hope not. I can't do this 3 months off.
No, but I'm saying that vote is saying that.
Right. And I get that. But if we've missed 3 months of basketball and then we only get 4 out of 8 games of Joel Embiid, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. but it wouldn't go against their philosophy that they want him for that run from August till October. So, I mean, I won't be surprised. Load management has been part of the system since day one. 610-632-0975. Please tell us if you think load management is going to be part of this 8-game restart before the postseason starts, and your expectations for your Philadelphia 76ers. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One segment left here at in my show. D-Line, I'm with you. Connor behind the glass producing the show today. And I noticed in this break that the NFL Players Association Executive Director, Damar Smith, is not happy that some of the NFL players continue to work out despite a union advisory sent out last weekend saying they should stop doing so. So he did an interview this morning with USA Today, and Smith was specifically asked about social media posts that showed Tampa Bay's quarterback Tom Brady. Doesn't that sound so odd? And Russell Wilson of the Seahawks also working out and saying that they are not acting in the best interest of player safety. It was on June 20th that Tom Mayer, who's a medical director, a doctor who's a medical director for the NFLPA's, he had told them, you know, to avoid working out with teammates to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And that was on the heels of 10 teams reporting 10 positive or reporting positive coronavirus tests. So this will be interesting to see. I will say, I even saw on social media today, youth sports have returned. I saw kids are back playing their summer baseball and summer soccer teams were playing. So if people are allowing youth to do it, and I know this is the advisory from the Players Association, but if someone's looking around and seeing others do it, I don't know what you can do that would prevent somebody else from doing a workout. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing is either.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of stuff is just to try it and see what sticks right now. And you'll see states like Florida has done it, rolling back things that have been open. Other states are hitting hot points. So I worry that we might be in the everything goes until it doesn't work phase, which
yep.
It's a scary thought. But
it really is. So anyhow, that's what happened this morning with the NFLPA's executive director in an interview with USA Today. So we'll see if there's any response from NFL players, in particular the ones that he called out, Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. What do we have to look forward to this week? We have phase three for the NBA, which will include mandatory individual workouts. And as I said, in the anticipation, I just am guessing that we'll see some kind of video come out of the Sixers practice facility, whether it's on their team website, something like that, I think. And we'll see what people look like. And there's not a lot you can see from an individual workout.
We could see a jump shot.
I don't think you're... Are you really waiting for a jump shot?
No, I'm not.
Come on.
I'm not. But I know there's some people out there who are, that are always waiting. They're going to be waiting a while.
I actually had a caller last weekend who asked me, because there are no fans, and feeling that Simmons is influenced by fans...
Come on.
Well, they call for him to shoot the ball when he's in the three-point range and gets it. So, well, because that won't be there, will he attempt more? It's a very good question. I have no idea what the answer is, but I thought it was an interesting question.
Yeah, I get the thought process behind it. It's just...
You don't think that's... It's
how deep
happen.
Are we trying to crawl inside this kid's head? Just like, there's so many bigger problems than to determine whether or not fans yelling at Ben to shoot is causing him not to shoot.
I'm going
to
tell you that I don't think we'll see him shooting threes, because I think they will utilize him... The way he gets a three-point attempt is by going to the corner in a half-court set. And as Coach Lynam said, they like to play fast. So, and if they do end up in the half-court set, I think we are going to see them use him more in that screener-roller role. that we started to see more of before he hurt his back.
Yeah, and we already talked about rust for shooters.
Why would you bring it into...
Put it in someone's hands who's not shooting anyway.
Exactly. So I think the bigger thing we got to pay attention to with him, and again, I don't know I can see anything in an individual workout, is how will his back respond when playing real basketball to the next day? And I think that's the biggest issue for him. Anybody who has had, I've not had back trouble, but having listened to people who have had back trouble, that's getting it right is really hard. So we'll see. Again, at one point we said he was going to be 100%, and then Brett kind of backtracked on that maybe 2 weeks later and said he doesn't expect him to be 100%. Now, I don't know if that was just because he has no idea what to expect from the back, having not played for these 3 months, that he's had plenty of rest and rehab. That we know. And if that continues to be a problem, then maybe somewhere down the road, he might have to go a different route in how you would cure it, so to speak. Basically meaning, would surgery of any sort have to be done? But otherwise, he's had the rehab. Going this course to cure his back required time and rehab. And he's had plenty of time and rehab, hands down. So I think it's fair to be able to judge moving forward of if this will be a recurring problem or not. So we have that to look forward to. And maybe baseball will release a schedule this week. That would be nice. For anybody who's a NASCAR fan, there's the triple race up in Poconos today because of the rain out yesterday. So I'm sure there are people. I actually have a lot of people in my friend's circle who are actually big NASCAR fans, and they love when it comes to either Dover or the Poconos. So that's happening. And other than that, I can't think of what's on tap. Can you, Connor? Anything else that I'm missing?
Not really. See, I was just talking to Joe Stazek, who's coming in here and planning for the next coming show, and we were saying there's a lot of stuff that's on the horizon, but not so much that's right here.
Exactly.
So we're just in that kind of dead zone waiting, but the good news is we could see the horizon at least. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It is. You speaking of Joe Stazek, he's getting ready to take over. He'll be with you from 12 to 4 with Tyler. So Tyler was with Joe today, and you were with me. And then next week, I think actually next week, I'm not with Tyler. I think that everything gets mixed up for the holiday weekend. By the way, I have one last question for you, Connor, because you mentioned that summer is about going to the Jersey Shore. Have you gone to the shore during the pandemic?
I actually have. I got down about 3 weeks ago, really. I went down to Avalon.
And to the beach.
To the beach.
Did you go in? Were bars open?
No. Well, they might have been. I didn't even consider going into the bars.
But you went to the beach, and did anybody try to sit too close to where you were?
So there were about five of us. I have a couple buddies who live down in Cape May Courthouse. So they live down there, and we went to their house, and then we went to the beach. And between the five of us, we spread out a good amount, and we had no one come within even like 20 feet of us.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah, because I know my mom loves the beach, but she hasn't gone to the beach. She won't. I mean,
you got to trust other people, and a lot of people don't right now. So it's tough. I didn't have any problems, but there were a good number of people, and that was 3 weeks ago. So
sure.
With the holiday coming up, who knows what it's like right now?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, I will be back next weekend. I'll see you next Saturday. See ya. You'll hear me, and I'll hear you next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Thank you so much for listening. I thank Coach Line and my dad for coming on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, as well as Colby Cohen, NBC Sports Philadelphia's Flyers premium post-game host. Great info from both of those guys. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your Sunday, and thanks for being with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.